Hi. Gay is not sin, and Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight. People, when you look up in the scriptures because you want to, you know, explain something to people about the verses, and especially the verses concerning gays, as you think that they are, you should find out a few things about what you're talking about, because, you know, when you say the word gay, meaning a group of people, you know, gays, what do you think of? Because, you know, just like when you think of straights, what do you think of? Do you think of something like a street downtown off to the side and in the kind of low-life section where all the prostitutes are? You know, if you want, hey, let's drive down the street and, hey, look, there, we're on the street. There, look at that guy. He's got his wallet out and he's giving this money to this obviously dressed woman, which from a mile away, you know they're a prostitute. And now we know what straights are. Is this how you think of straights? I don't think so. I think when you think of straights, you know, you being straight, that, you know, you're growing up, you're watching TV and all that, see all these romantic stories and everything, and you get to that age and everything, and you find out all your peers are talking about the opposite sex, and oh, you know, so you know your language, some of it's pretty, you know, explicit. But generally speaking, what it is personally inside yourself, you're thinking, you know, I really would like to meet the opposite sex. You know, see, if you're a man, you can say that girl. You know, you have all kinds of words: hot, good looking, all kinds of things that you think your type. It turns out to be, maybe you like blondes or brunettes, or maybe you like an ethnic kind of grouping or something. But you have the kind of thing that you really like. Some of you that I talk to, they say, put a paper sack over the girl's head, you know. And it doesn't matter what you look like, fat, skinny. It doesn't matter anything, as long as you cover up that face. I have people tell me this a number of times. Something similar to that. But still, you know, when you're going around and you're thinking about straights, you know what you think of? You're thinking boy meets girl. They date. They fall in love. Then they get married. This is how you think of straight. This is your general concept when it gets down to what does straight mean? Now, you have all kinds of ways to decide what is acceptable, as it were. Because when you find out that you like the opposite sex, you know, you think you know you like the opposite sex because all your life you're told you're going to get married one day. You're going to have family of your own. And all this, and you see all these romantic advertisements to, you know, hey, you know, take this, you look better. You'd be more attractive to the opposite sex. You see all this kind of thing. You go to school. What's the school set up for? You got your dancing and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, then the prom and everything is set up so that you can have your desires, as it were, so that you can meet somebody else. So you can have the companionship of somebody else. So you could have this thing that you know, you find out something about yourself. You want to be loved. And that's funny, you know. I want to be loved. But then you want something. I want to love. You have these kind of things. Now, and then you say, I want it. You know, I just, you know, let me have it. And then I can go about my way, you know. I just go and get it, you know. And I get my gun, put another notch in it. I had that one. You know, a lot of you are like that. But, you know, what I'm trying to say is let's get past all these things of what we might consider promiscuity, adultery, prostitution, rape, abuse. Let's get all past all of this stuff and get to what straight means. And straight means, if you want a really simple definition, is boy meets girl, they date, they fall in love, they get married. Then you have boy meets girl, and to get to the dating, you know, you have several things. You know what they are. Everything can be very, very different, very similar, all kinds of ways, how you do, how you meet, you know, all that. Then the dating process. You know, you might have sex on the first night, you may wait, you know, who knows? There's too many people that have it every way. Too many Christians that have sex on the 69% have sex on the first date. Are you going to condemn Christianity, straight people? Because they practically all would do technically sexual immoral type things if you try to use your conditioning and your culture and your tradition, your doctrines of men, as it were, you listen to your teachers, then you have to say that, yes, sex on the first date is going to be sin. Because, I mean, then you say, because, well, that's what the Bible says. No, that's what you're teaching. That's what you're conditioning. That's what your culture. That's what all of these traditions of men tell you. You have to figure out, then why do so many people on their first date that are really good Christians have sex? What kind of stuff does it? Is Jesus so weak that he cannot help 69% of you? Or is it that something might be wrong with your doctrine? That the way that you try to interpret the Bible, you know, the church has been completely wrong a number of times the past 2,000 years on scriptures. Who was it? Was it Martin Luther? He had a 95-point thesis that he nailed to the Catholic, the Vatican's door, something like how that goes. And boy, they practically kicked him out, ostracized him, did everything else. They hated him. Today, you go to all your different kinds of Bible schools and colleges and everything, and they say, you know, those 95-point theses that he put out, just about every one of them's right. Today, we love what he did, all those 95 points. But back then, the church hated it. So who's going to be right? We have 2,000 years of Christianity. We have it all. Nobody's ever going to have more than we. There's not going to be future Christians, as it were, that has more than we do. The process of time before Jesus comes back is too short. Most of us are still going to be alive. If we were to go to old age or something, we would still be alive. So we have it all. Nobody in all history has it all. So we can study. We have a device that we can go get it. There's lots of things wrong with that device. We get wrong information. We call it a computer. We get all kinds of stuff. But do you know one thing about the computer? It don't care. It don't care if you're a Republican. It don't care if you're a Democrat. It don't care if you're a murderer. It don't care. It don't care if you're the most wonderful Christian wanting to do the best type of thing. It simply does not care. What you want it to do, it will do. And it will hook you. Because it gives you what you want. But it makes you want more. And you can't get enough, so you keep trying. But you have it all, and you can look. You can find out about everything Christian. Some things are hard to find. But you can find this out. We have everything. So we know how to define a straight person. We know pretty much how to define sexual immorality. We're straight people, though we're really wrong on lots of stuff because we deal with our conditioning and not Bible fact. We have Bible fact that will tell us because we have all information that the way we deal with marriage is completely 100% directly from pagan fertility worshiping and the way they marry. The priest that stood in between the couple that's getting married and their god or goddess was the intermediator. Today's pastor or whoever it is that is standing in between the couple that wants to get married is doing this because of the fertility, not because of something that happened in Judaism. Judaism is generally, in those ancient times, something that you had a family, and you had this family, and maybe before you were born or after you were born, I got a male, you got a female. You know, I got this kind of stuff, you like some of it. You got some stuff I like. How about let's make a deal? My kid can marry your kid if you give me some of your stuff and I give you some, you know, a deal. Whatever profit is the most in family type of things, a marriage was a business deal. Love wasn't interested. It wasn't even a part of the deal. If you want love, you got to fall in love after you get married. And the purity and all that kind of stuff was important because it's more valuable that way if you didn't do anything. And if you did something, then suddenly, hey, you know, I don't have to give you as much of my deal. Your profit margin goes down. You know, this is, then the 12th century came along. And so many pagans were getting saved during this time that when they came in, they brought lots of different customs. We don't got lots of pagan customs for nothing. Christian holiday, the 25th, Jesus born. No, he wasn't. This is the time that the pagans celebrated the and you know the winter solstice or whatever you know and so they did all these kind of stuff. So Christians decide, you know, how are we gonna not do the worshiping of the gods of the pagans, because we were the pagans, so we know very well that this is what this is, and now we're Christian, so we want no part of this. So what are we gonna do? Well, simple. Let's just say Jesus was born here, and let's give the gifts and do all these kinds of stuff. But we will now say this is his birthday, so we take this holiday as his birth. You know, pagans come in and they do some changes. When you get saved, you have all your previous life to come in with you, and that slightly modifies things in the church. Lots of it is okay. Because Jesus is developing something here. He loves everybody. Everybody is important. And that don't mean he likes the God ways of other gods. But you see, you have this available at your fingertips to know that Christianity's marriages today is not the Bible marriages. In ancient days, there were contractual marriages. Gays got legal contract Hebrew marriages, like back 1,000 years before Christ. You got records in the Bible of at least 2 gay contractual marriages in the Bible. They didn't get married to it. We have so many examples. If we go back into the ancient days, you could have multiple wives. Even in more modern times in Christianity, you can have concubines and mistresses up until about the 11th century. You know, St. Augustine had his concubine. He's actually paid her. So you'd think it'd be more like a prostitute, but they got worked out, you know. You have your concubine take care of them and all that. But you know, something happened there one day.